Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Document Management for Accountants to Go, a monthly podcast program with executive editor Darren Root and the country's foremost document management consultant, John Higgins. These thought leaders discuss all aspects of document management with a laser focus on the special needs of the practicing accountant.
Hi, this is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor for Intersection Live, and you are listening to episode 24 of Document Management for Accountants to Go. I'd like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for sponsoring our podcast. I'm here with my regular co-host, John Higgins. John's a principal with CPA Crossings just outside of Detroit. John is definitely a national expert on all things digital for accountants specifically. So, John, welcome today.
Good morning, Darren. How are you doing today?
I am great. I am up to my eyeballs in tax returns and tax processes. As you know, I still practice, so tax season seems to be going fairly well. But I got a good topic for us though today, John. I think if we can talk a little bit about, you know, just sort of the paperless tax process and how to use Adobe and some other things related to that, I think that might be timely and helpful for our practitioners right now.
That sounds good. I think that's spot on. We're right in the middle of busy season, so I'm sure a lot of the practitioners could take advantage of some of the things we can talk about in this area.
Well, sounds great. So why don't you kind of give us a framework of where you want to go from here?
Okay, so let's just talk about some of the key techniques you might want to take advantage of in Acrobat relative to working with your scanned documents, and we'll start at the front end and talk about some things relative to scanning and work our way through the process all the way through to archiving documents at the end of the engagement.
Sounds good.
Lots of things we could talk about, so just try to hit some high points and things that, based on our experience working with a lot of practitioners, where we see them, where we see opportunities for them just to get more efficient and maybe do a little better job of working with their electronic documents. So let's start with scanning. At this stage of the game, in terms of where we are in the calendar, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have already been doing a fair amount of scanning of documents for business returns and 1040s. And what we find is sometimes there's various levels of understanding about what's the best way to configure your scanner settings. And I guess the first point to make is that you can kind of attack your scanner settings and configuration from one of two angles. On one end, you have your scanner, and many of the scanners have software that accompanies them when you purchase them and install them, and that's where you have a lot of ability typically to control the scanning configuration settings. And so we really can't get into specifics there too much because everybody's going to have a little bit different solution. But the other approach is if you're controlling your scanning settings directly from within Adobe Acrobat, which is just one way to do it, there we can talk maybe a little more generically since most everybody is using Acrobat in their offices. And some of the things we'll talk about you can apply if you have a separate software application with your scanner. A lot of the concepts are going to be pretty similar. So as far as some best practices for configuring your scanner settings, first, let's start with the resolution. When you go to define your scanner settings, you're going to be asked what resolution in terms of DPI or dots per inch that you want to scan at. And across the industry, the best practice minimum is going to be 300 dots per inch, 300 DPI. And traditionally, that's been what everybody's recommended, although recently I've worked with some scanning software vendors who are recommending you go as high as 600 dots per inch. And so what's the difference? Well, first of all, you have to make sure your scanner can accommodate that level of resolution, which most every scanner can. But when you go to the higher resolution setting, it's going to slow down the scanning process. It's going to increase the quality of the scanned image. That's the reason to do it. And it's also going to make your PDF files bigger. So So there's some downsides and some upsides. But the upside of going to 600 dots per inch is when you take the document through the OCR process, optical character recognition, it's going to give you a better result because it's optical character recognition is looking at the scanned image and trying to interpret that image and convert it into readable, machine-readable content. So it may see, if you scan in at 100 dots per inch, then a number eight may come across through the OCR process to look like a 6. I've actually seen that happen. So that can create problems, of course. Whereas if you scanned it in at a higher resolution, an 8 is going to be seen as an 8 more likely, and so you're going to get a more accurate representation of the paper document in your scanned image.
You know, John, where I've seen this, if I'm a practitioner, one of the first things I have to figure out or I have to know, you know, am I just scanning my documents to put into my, let's say, my digital file cabinet or on my hard drive, and that's all I'm going to do is just save those documents? And at that point, you know, if I'm not populating the tax software, I'm not sending it off to an OCR sort of outsourced company to read those documents, then I guess it doesn't really matter, right? You could put it in a 300 DPI and do what you want with it.
Yeah, I would say that's a good point. That if you're just going to use it internally, then going to the higher resolution is not going to be that much of a benefit. And the price you're paying in terms of slower scanning and larger files is going to be enough to probably steer you away from doing that.
But I think the point you were getting at, though, is let's say you use a Copanion or a Thompson or a CCH or SurePrep, you know, that actually you can send your documents to, that's where you have to kind of figure out what resolution your vendor is really recommending so that they get the best reads on your scans, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly, because that's the whole nature of their services is to take your scanned image and identify the documents so that they can create bookmarks automatically and then ultimately lift the data off of a W-2 form, for example, and pass that number directly over to the tax software. So getting a better quality read is much more critical in those environments.
Yeah, sorry about that. Didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to make sure our listeners understood the, you know, where you were going with that.
Yeah, that's a great point. Now, there is kind of in the middle between the two spectrums there is that even if you're just going to use the documents internally, you can do your own OCR conversion from within Adobe Acrobat. And the benefits of doing that are, first of all, that would allow you to search for content within the document. So if you're looking for, like in the extended version of Acrobat Pro, or actually I guess Acrobat Pro does this, you can do redaction. So if you wanted to go through and redact or block out all of the Social Security numbers in your scanned file, you could search for the Social Security number only if you've OCR'd the document. Okay, so that would be, you know, just one reason why you might want to do an OCR conversion when you scan the document into Acrobat. A couple other reasons why you might want to do that is that if you use the annotation tools in Acrobat, you can highlight. Let's say you have like a letter from the IRS as one of your source documents, and you want to highlight a sentence in that letter to make a note about it or just to make it stand out. Well, in order to highlight just like a sentence or a paragraph, the document has to have been converted to OCR because that's what allows you to just kind of focus an annotation on a specific selection of text. So that'd be a second reason to do the OCR. A third reason is when you create bookmarks to organize your document and identify specific points in the document that you can navigate to very quickly, if you've OCR'd the scanned image, then you can highlight text. So if, let's say you go to Schedule C on the form, for example, or maybe on the organizer you have a heading, you could highlight that heading and tell it to create a bookmark using that particular text. So you don't have to, when you create your bookmarks, you don't have to type in the names of the bookmarks all the time. You can just highlight the text within the document and say, make this the actual bookmark description for this spot in the document. So those are some suggestions as to why you might want to take your document through the OCR process. And you can do that in Acrobat. When you go to configure your scanner settings, there's a little checkbox there that says make searchable with OCR. And if you check that, after it scans the image in, then it'll take us through its conversion process.
You know, I guess, John, a lot of that, the decision point there has to do with the, sort of the document management system that you're using. I mean, I'm thinking about right now, if you're using, you know, File Cabinet CS, for instance, from Thomson, you know, we really use a folder structure that there's not a lot of searching required.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to use a Go File Room or, you know, another product that's, you know, more of a flat file structure, searching becomes pretty important, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, if, especially, you know, when we're talking about searching the, within the contents of the document itself. And when you are using a document management system, before you go ahead and configure your Acrobat to do the OCR conversion, you should make sure you understand whether that's already being done somewhere in your document management process. Like with GoFileRoom, you don't need to do OCR because when you scan it and upload it to them, they run it through an OCR process on their end. So that would just be redundant work. Good point you're making there. When you're using a document management system, you need to understand, you know, with the vendor whether or not they're doing that on your behalf somewhere in the process. Let's talk now about late arriving documents. Every firm deals with this. It's not a perfect world, so we always know that many of the clients are going to come back. We've scanned in their source documents in February. They come 2, 3, 4 weeks later, and they have some additional documents, 1099s, W-2s, K-1s, whatever it may be. So what's the best way to deal with these? You actually have a few ways in which you can deal with this, but basically, or typically, the best option is you have your original source document PDF that you created, and you've probably at this point been working with it a little bit, so you might even have some annotations in there. So you pretty much want to leave that intact and just bring in the late-arriving documents to this form. So the easiest way to do that is just simply scan in your late-arriving documents into a separate PDF. And when you scan it, and typically that will open it up, the file right then and there on your display. And if you have dual monitors, this is real easy. Basically, what you do is you'd have the original source document file open on, say, your right monitor. You'd have your appended documents file open up on your left monitor. And in both files, you want to make sure you have the pages panel open. And what that allows you to do is you could just easily highlight and select the pages that you're appending into the existing file and drag them across, just literally with your mouse, just drag them across to the original source document file. And by doing it that way, you can place those late arriving documents wherever they need to go in your main file. So let's say you had a K-1 and maybe a 1099. Well, first you drag the 1099 over individually and drop it in where it needs to go sequentially in your source document file. Then you just go back over and you highlight the pages related to the K-1 and then just drag them over with your mouse and drop them in where that K-1 should be located in the source file. So that's probably the best way. Another alternative is you have a file combine feature where you can say, okay, just I've got this new scanned image file of my late arriving documents, and you can just combine, and that'll automatically add those late arriving documents to the bottom of your existing source document file, and it will automatically create a bookmark based on the name of that file. So if you call it John Doe late arriving documents, it'll actually come in as a bookmark, and all the late arriving documents will show up at the bottom. And that can be helpful because then the preparer, who may already be somewhat involved with that engagement, can see that those are the documents that did, in fact, come after the fact.
Okay.
Another topic to discuss is just the whole issue of kind of organizing either PDF files or other files that are related to a tax engagement. And you can get pretty sophisticated in this area with Acrobat in terms of creating different levels of like an electronic binder. So I guess three points I'd like to just review. One is, if you're familiar with creating bookmarks, one of the advanced features you have with a bookmark is instead of having the bookmark point to a specific spot in the PDF file, you can set up the bookmark to actually open up an external file. So if I have, say, a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet listing out charitable contributions, I could create a bookmark, call it, you know, charitable contributions list. And when I click on that, it would launch Excel and it would open up that that file. And so that's, you know, one way to create kind of an external link from within Acrobat.
Okay.
The downside to that is that wherever you have that contributions file has to be consistent. Otherwise, the link is no good. Because so if you set it up on your local drive and then you sent the file to somebody else in your office, that bookmark's not going to work for them. If you pointed the bookmark to a directory on your server, then within your organization, it still becomes a valid link. So it definitely has some limitations, but for sole practitioners, it can work just, you know, really well, actually. The another way to do this, and this is even a little bit more, I guess, reliable, is instead of creating a bookmark to link to the external file, you could just attach that file to the PDF. So if I wanted to keep that Excel spreadsheet of the detailed charitable contributions as part of my source document file, I can use in the comments toolbar, comments and annotations toolbar, there's a paperclip. And that paperclip, when you click on that, will ask you to point to the file on your drive that you want to actually bring into the PDF. And so I would just point to my charitable contributions Excel spreadsheet. And now that file is an attached file, but it's more than attached. It's actually embedded in the PDF file. So if you emailed that file outside of your organization, it would include that charitable contributions Excel spreadsheet. And so if you can visualize that, you could actually have, you know, a complete work paper binder where your source documents PDF is the kind of the managing file, and you have embedded and attached to that file any supporting files to go with that.
Okay. You know, John, one of the things that I'm certainly starting to feel during the midst of tax season here is, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, should we scan up front, in the middle, or at the back end? You know, and the busier and busier we get, the more I'm starting to see that we can actually move that process to the front end. And I know you've counseled a lot of firms to do that. How does that work for them typically?
Well, it's first of all, it significantly changes your workflow. So it's not something you want to do without really thinking the process through. At the end of the game, it works really well. But getting there can be difficult if you don't have a well-thought-out plan. But the objective there is when you scan the documents and on the front end, especially with some of the tools that are out there like the Thompson's Tax Sort, you have the Copanion and SurePrep that you mentioned, those can just be a great way to, I guess, outsource a lot of, you know, administrative work at a very, you know, cost-effective model. But more importantly than that even is that with those types of tools, you get a consistently organized source document file. And so then you know that going through the tax return engagement, everybody's working off a consistently organized work paper file format. And where it gets, where the challenge is, frankly, is that the people in the firm have to be well-trained and comfortable using tools like Adobe Acrobat to annotate the file on screen. So that's the hard part. Once they get there, though, it's just the time savings and the ability to, you know, move that engagement around is just a whole lot easier. Maybe you've got somebody who works part-time from home during tax season. You can just literally email documents as a, you know, attachments, and that gives the person the whole binder, the whole work paper binder to prepare the return, as long as they can remotely access the tax software. And in terms of just employing people, it opens up a whole new realm of opportunities. You can get people, frankly, at a lower cost structure because if they can work from home, they're usually willing to give up a little bit in terms of pay for that, is what my experience has been.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a whole other discussion there that we could get into. But so that's, you know, certainly one of the benefits of the what we call the front-end scanning. And then, you know, when you learn to use tools like Acrobat, you can actually do a much more consistent model of how your work papers are getting annotated and getting documented. And the review note capability in Acrobat, we call them, they're called sticky notes, and it's actually a pretty thorough functionality where I could attach a sticky note as a reviewer directly on a page of the PDF. I would send that to you, you'd open up the sticky note and you'd reply, you'd put your reply in there, and we could go back and forth as the document gets sent back and forth. And Adobe does a nice job of keeping an audit trail of the entire thread of the conversation. And so, because that's one of the challenges when you go to a paperless workflow is what's going to be our model or our tool for track and review notes. Because we used to maybe just write them right on the documents, or we put them on the routing sheet, or sometimes firms will have like a separate Word document. With Acrobat, you know, you have good functionality just to do all your note tracking right there on the document, and you can of course control whether or not when you print or distribute that PDF if those annotations are included. So if for some reason you need to send the file outside the organization, you can eliminate those annotations from what you send out.
Well, you know, John, what I'm finding, and like you mentioned, you know, the middle of tax season is not the time to change your tax process, but you know, even if we spend, you know, I'm finding if I'm scanning in the middle of the tax process and I take the time to scan those documents in, let's say I have a high-speed scanner, so I have 50 documents, so I can scan those in a minute or so. That's not really the time killer for me. It's when I save that to an Adobe file, and then maybe I submit it to one of these services like SurePrep or Copanion or Thompson or somebody. And, you know, then I monitor when that file's been done, then I pull that back and I put it in my document management system. All of a sudden, that process is no longer a minute or a minute and a half. It's, you know, I've got 10 minutes wrapped up in that. You know, and if you do 5 returns a day, 10 returns a day, whatever you do, you know, that all of a sudden it starts turning into real time.
So, I understand the point you're making, that is that it seems like you're investing more time to get into that front-end scanning workflow.
No, it seems like I'm investing more time to be midstream.
Oh, that
time, because you know, I, at a practitioner level, you know, I'm starting to feel like I shouldn't be doing that, because you know, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, over the course of a day, it's an hour that could have been done by somebody different in the firm. And so I'm starting, I know you've been an advocate of upfront scanning, but I'm really starting to feel the value. If I could save an hour a day, you know, for 6 weeks, it adds up to real time.
Yeah, absolutely, Darren. And, you know, you certainly in your situation are in an enviable spot because you have your laboratory there. I always, when I think about how your model is, you can,
yeah.
You have the ability to actually experience these things in real life and can adjust your model as you think it's appropriate. And, you know, so for me it's a little bit different, but you know, if I was running a firm, to me I would definitely drive towards front-end scanning, and I would have an individual or maybe a couple individuals responsible for doing all scanning. And to me it would be, the rule would be whatever comes into the office gets immediately scanned in, and I would probably use one of these services that you were talking about because that just seems to make a lot of sense economically to me. And
they work well.
Yeah, they do work well for sure. And that way, you know, you're getting a consistent scanning, and you're by doing it that way on the very front end of the process, you're eliminating situations where practitioners, which you know we don't always do a good job of delegating our own time or using our own time, you keep them out of the scanning business because that's just
yeah.
And that's such a clerical task, and it's easy to think you're being productive because you're doing something, but the fact is it's an administrative task, and as we've seen, we have software vendors out there who have automated the process, so that kind of tells you all you need to know, I think, in that regard. So, yeah, I'm a big proponent of that, but I always have that caveat. You got to make sure you really thought through the whole process because otherwise you'll get, you know, potentially get a revolt from your staff if they haven't been properly trained on, okay, here's how we're going to do things now with the electronic documents.
Well, you also said something there that I don't want our listeners to miss. You said have one person do this. And I don't care if you're a two-person firm or a 100-person firm. I still think that what you said is really important. If we can train one administrative person to know what to look for, to know how to scan, and so we get really consistency across the board, I'm starting to see that's where the real value is going to come in. So that's really my goal this summer is to get somebody thoroughly trained, with all of our extensions to do things exactly the same way and take that off our preparers.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at the big picture in terms of where CPA technology has been and where it's going, I think this next decade is going to be all about process because we've got great hardware, we've got great software tools. Now we've got to just take the initiative to make them work properly in our organizations.
Yeah,
good example.
I agree. Well, John, we're out of time today. Any other thing we ought to mention before we close and make sure our practitioners are on the right page for the finish up tax season?
Yeah, I think the key is, of course, not to try to implement too much change right now because, of course, this is the busiest time of year for everybody. So what you should be doing is keeping notes and say, okay, what's frustrating you? Where do you see as you're walking around the next few months, next couple months, I guess, things that aren't seem efficient so that when you get out of the busy season, you can sit down and say, okay, here's what we need to really be focusing on.
Yeah, I agree. Well, John, thanks for your time. And I also want to thank ADP for sponsoring our podcast series. And I guess I'm going to get back to doing taxes today, John.
Okay, have a great day, Darren.
All right, you too. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.